B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
100 more.
There has to be a conversation between Elton Brand and Brett Brown at some point, right? Like, Brett, we didn't get him for this reason.
I'm sure there's conversation every day with those two. I don't know if Elton's saying, look, I'm not sure your style. Look, Brett is convinced that this is the style of play that has to be in the NBA. I'm of the ilk, and I think, Trey, you are too, as a former player and coach. You play to the strengths of your team. You mm-hmm. don't bring in a concept that your team isn't good at playing.
Yeah, and he's telling them, hey, I want y'all to hunt for threes.
Hunt for threes.
Yeah.
If that's the strategy you want to play, then why am I doubling down on the center position?
Did you hear Zaire Smith the other night said, yeah, I'm starting to hunt threes.
Yeah, in the G League.
In the G League.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, where have I heard that before? Hunt threes, huh? All right.
That's going to be a shortcut to the NBA.
Yeah.
Is being a three hunter.
Because that's
like the rest of his teammates.
That's what Brett wants. That's organizational. And look, I get it to a degree. That is the NBA anymore. But it feels like we're trying to force a bunch of squares in a circle hole.
It feels like they're trying too hard is what it feels like.
Yeah.
Because that's not the type of team you are. You're not
drafting shooters. You're drafting guys that you hope can become shooters.
Exactly. And the other part of that is that your best three-point shooter right now is a guy you still are growing in Furkan Korkmaz.
Yeah.
A guy that, look, he's made some strides in terms of being more aggressive offensively and going to the basket. And that's fine. Good for him. Just don't turn the basketball over. But stay within your strength right now, which is shooting the three. That's all you really need from Furkan Korkmaz right now. He seems like he might be overreaching a little bit to try to extend his game. But you can't have a team, as we said before this season, is doubling down on big men for a power forward or center position with Joel Embiid and also Al Horford and say, all right, bully ball, bully ball, bully ball. Season starts. Hey, let's shoot threes. Because that is just beyond frustrating, and it's not how the team is constructed.
Yeah, it seems like the only thing that they didn't listen to was the bully ball statement. You know, when they heard the hunt three statement, oh, we got that. Yeah, hey, we're going to make it rain from behind the arc. But then the bully ball statement, that wasn't even applied. No one took to that.
No, that's why, look, I mentioned Matisse Thybulle making the three with 5 minutes left in the game. They mix it to a three-point game. Norman came down the other end, and then he made a dunk, I think it was. They come back, and that's when Ben was able to get through the zone. He brought the ball up, gave it to, I think it was Korkmaz on the wing, and then he gave it to Horford, who gave it to Simmons. And they got the 2 points, made it the three-point game again. Really, that was the moment that things started to fall apart. That was the moment where I thought, okay, wait. All right, I know they just went down five again, but now they're right back within three with Ben beating a zone like that. That's good to see, finally. And you really didn't see it from that point on. 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour, brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net to set up your free benefits analysis today. If you're just joining us, we've been talking vast majority Sixers all morning after a really rough game against the Raptors, a game that the Sixers, that if you were going into last night's game, and we went around the horn yesterday when we thought Josh Richardson would be playing for the full game, and we say, hey, how you guys feeling? I felt they'd at least cover the 6.5.
Yeah, I didn't like their chances.
Yeah.
After last night, if Josh Richardson plays, you're feeling a little bit better.
Yeah, totally.
Right? So they played above how I thought they'd play
their
without Josh Richardson.
Was great in the beginning.
In the beginning.
And their offense was great in the first quarter.
35 points.
Yeah.
Against what, the second best defensive rated team in the NBA?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I'll take that. 35
Marc
points.
Gasol.
And Marc Gasol. And you don't have Joel Embiid and all that. Great.
Oh, you don't have a Joel Embiid, so you would think Al Horford maybe would give you something more?
That didn't happen either.
No.
So Al
no.
gave you about 6 points, I think, in the first 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he gave you 1 point the rest of the way.
Whopping 7-7-10 stat line for your $108 million man.
So what you're saying is you were unimpressed
all season. Yeah.
So, but if I tell
but
you,
I don't even think it's all him. I think it's his role in the offense.
Right. Right. And that's where we get back to the threes and spreading the floor and all that. But so you go into last night's game, and if I tell you going into the game you're not going to have Joel Embiid, which you knew, and you were going to lose Josh Richardson 4 minutes into it, no one's thinking they win this game. Like, it would almost be better for Sixers fans' morale that they get blown out by 20 points as opposed to be down 3 points with 4:30 left in the game. But no, they were in this game. It was a winnable game. And you could look at Brett Brown playing Shake Milton for 22 to 23 minutes. Bob, for the sake of accuracy. And then you also look at how many threes they shot in this game, and you think, what the hell is this team doing? But the guy I will continue to focus on is the guy that I think people should be focusing on, and that's Ben Simmons in the fourth quarter gets you 2 points. How? You want to talk about a guy who wants to be an all-star?
Mm-hmm.
But against Toronto, in Toronto, he continues to struggle. And you put up numbers like that in the fourth quarter when your team needs you most. Hey, the only 2 points he got brought you within three. And there's a picture going around right now on social media taken by our friend Marcus Hayes of Inquirer.com that is a very damning picture of Ben Simmons. Now, here's the thing. There's about 120 left in the game.
Yeah.
Sixers are down 12, I believe it
is. They're hunting threes.
And Ben Simmons penetrates. Nobody's in front of him on his way to the basket. He jumps in the air and looks for the pass.
Look, there's something over there. Shuffling around in the bush.
It's a three.
It might be a three. Look at it.
Which way's the wind going?
It's Toronto, so counterclockwise.
Oh, counterclockwise, yeah. Is that how it works? North of the border? Right. Well, I know one thing, it's a chilly breeze. I know that.
So the hint of maple syrup.
Can the three smell me as I'm hunting it?
Is that Celine Dion I hear in the background?
Now here's the danger you have. You know
what?
How about Shania Twain? She's Canadian,
is she?
And much better looking.
Yeah, she is. That's not even a contest.
No, it's not.
She's not from Alabama. She's from Canada. Shania Twain.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah, well, Canadian is. Fun fact.
Yeah. She used to be like number one on my list. She back
is.
In the day.
She is a gorgeous
she
woman.
Is, yeah. We're talking Celine Dion, London, Mark.
Celine Dion is more like the Sarah Jessica Parker school of beauty. My cup of tea, but I get it.
What?
Yeah.
Does anyone think Celine Dion's beautiful?
Really? I think a lot of people do.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
Shania Twain versus Celine Dion, Mark. Canadian pop stars.
Yeah, right. All this because Celine Dion is playing in the background while Ben Simmons is passing up on an open jump shot.
Yeah. Back to the issue at hand.
But Michael J. Fox, great actor. All right, anyway.
Another Canadian film. Jim Carrey.
That's why I say it.
Ryan Reynolds.
See, Eugene Levy.
Yeah, they produce stars.
So you have Ben Simmons. Yeah, Ben Simmons trying to shoot a jump shot, but he opts not to, and instead he dishes a three. I know they're down. I know there's less than 90 seconds left. But you never want to see whoever your point guard is beat the defense, have 2 points right in front of him. And instead, he wants to force a pass to the perimeter. I don't give a damn if the Sixers are down 20 points, if they're down 3 points with 80 seconds left in the game. You have an easy 2 points right in front of you from your best player on the floor, supposedly, and he's passing up on those 2 points. That's just that is putting yourself in a terrible situation, regardless of what the situation in itself is in the game. Down 12, in that scenario, you take the 2 points that are right in front of him. You don't try to force what could very well end up as a turnover.
I just did a quick search of NBA box scores to see if anybody shot more threes than the Sixers last night. Couldn't find one.
Oh, really?
And here's the damning one.
Oh, boy.
The Houston Rockets, we know
that. Stop. No, don't. Please
shot
don't.
18 fewer three-pointers than the 76ers last night. The Houston Rockets.
Is Harden sick?
No, he played. Westbrook played. They had full contingent.
Right.
18 less three-pointers than your jack-happy 76ers.
That's not inspiring. George in Newtown. What's up, George?
Yo, Mark. What's going on?
Hey, brother.
Listen, I need some help this morning. I'm notoriously a positive guy. I usually call him to talk Eagles with Anthony. I know I've talked to the bro and Bob before. You look at that game with 3 minutes and 48 seconds left, and the Sixers' possessions were Matisse Thybulle turnover, Al Horford missed three, Al Horford missed jump shot, Furkan Korkmaz floater, and Matisse Thybulle contested missed jump shot. In what world, in the most simple of peewee basketball, when there is a three-point game, do your scorers, your stars, not get the ball? I don't understand it for the life of me. Do you assign blame to the coach? Do you assign blame to Tobias and Ben, who combined for a whopping 4 points in the fourth quarter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Tobias's really, 2 points came, I believe, on foul shots.
I'm not one of these guys that is, you know, trade Ben Simmons and fire Brett Brown. I think that's ridiculous. I think there's 40 games left in the season. They have a huge opportunity to fix it. But when you watch, like, these fundamental issues with a team, and we saw it, like, with the Phillies with pitching, it just makes you want to scream.
Yeah. George, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you chiming in, man.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, appreciate it. I appreciate the positivity. I like people that are usually very optimistic, and they don't know what to do with themselves when they're so pessimistic. It's a surprise to them, even. But I look at last night's game, and I don't see how you can be optimistic about it, because they were in that game with 4:30 left in the game. They're down 3 points. Without Josh Richardson, without Joel Embiid, I can't say it enough. And Ben Simmons comes up with 2 points for you down the stretch? That's terrible. And you want to talk about making him an all-star? You want to brag about 34 points? You want to brag about his game against the Nets? Here's the thing, and this is why I hate the society we live in now, because everything's a hot take. There's no actuality. It's only taking things to extreme. Well, get this through some people's heads, all right? The actuality is with Ben Simmons is that he plays great against inferior opponents and then disappears when you need him most against superior opponents. Whether that's a one-point game against the Celtics in the playoffs, or that is a 2-point performance in the fourth quarter with the team very much in it against the Toronto Raptors in Toronto, which, by the way, you've now dropped 15 in a row in Toronto.
Yeah, that's a bad label to have.
The fact that you clamp up in the small moments. Like, look, if you look at the numbers, he was, what, 2 assists shy of a triple-double last night?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Where was he in the fourth quarter?
I hear
nowhere
you.
To be found.
And he didn't get off the bench until 7 minutes were left in the game.
Now that goes to Brett. But
that absolutely goes
but
to Brett.
He doesn't make the most of his 7 minutes.
I'm telling you, I'm sorry. I'm Ben Simmons. I'm standing up at the 10-minute mark and starting to walk towards the scorer's table.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not waiting for that 7 minute. I don't know if the timeout came at 7 minutes. It usually comes in the 6 minute. But no. Yeah, I'm sorry. You can't start a fourth quarter with Pell, Korkmaz, Scott, and Shake Milton. Mm. That's who you started in the fourth quarter. Come on.
So Ben Simmons goes up in the air last night.
Shaboogie.
So Ben goes up in the air. Sixers are down 103-90. So the Sixers are down 13, 126. Ben leaves his feet. He dishes the ball, I believe it's to Tobias Harris. He ends up with it, and he misses a three. It's just a very bad look for Ben when the 2 points are right in front of him, and he passes up on it, for lack of a better term. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, without further ado, Trey, 7:30, we got to get into this.
Yeah.
Donovan versus T.O. round 17? I don't know. We don't even know what round are we on?
Fight.
I don't even know anymore. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic is 712.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, coming up, our friend Joey Glenn is naming this segment on Twitter. And good job, Joey, because we're going to go with a little segment we're going to call Hard Hats. Hard Hats.
Let's try that again.
We're not live. This isn't a live show, right? Take two.
No.
Hey, guys, so welcome back. So, Hard Hats, Hot Takes.
Right.
That is going to be the segment we're going to do here.
All right.
We have one of our many construction workers that are working their asses off here.
Yes, they are.
Right here in One Bala Plaza in Bala Kenwood. Our buddy Matt, who we've talked sports with at length, is going to be helping us out with this. So we're going to talk to him in just a second. 7:30, we have we got to get into the T.O. versus McNabb. Volume 17. I don't know which one this is, but we'll get into it. Trey, you were there.
Yeah, I was there.
We were all watching from afar,
uh-huh.
But you were watching from inside.
Yeah, I was on the inside, looking out.
Yeah, going.
Versus outside, looking in.
That's how you break that down.
Yeah.
Let's get our buddy Mike and Delran up here. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, bottom line, Mike, are you excited to party with us at our Cornhole Championship?
Oh, absolutely. Are we going to be able to drink as soon as we walk in the door this time?
Yeah, you get there early to tailgate with me and Jamie at 4 a.m., Mike.
Yeah, that's the good thing. The parking lot's right there, so it's under 95. Anything that happens under 95, you know, that's like...
stays there.
It's like international waters.
This could be a great time. I'm going to be hammered. did I hear a Nickelback commercial during that break? I thought they died.
Another they're Canadian also, I believe.
You know, I never realized that the guy from the lead singer Nickelback looks just like Celine Dion. I never realized that.
Yeah, they all look like Canada.
That's great. Hey, you know, interesting fact. You know, in 2005, the Phoenix Suns led the league in three-pointer attempts a game with 25.4 or something like that, right?
But say that one more time. I'm sorry.
2005.
Yeah?
The Phoenix Suns led the league in three-pointers attempted at 25 a game. You know, this year, the Indiana Pacers are in last place in the league with 3 points attempted at 27.
Ah! Wow.
That is absolutely ridiculous. And you know what? I didn't want to believe that the league was a 3-point shooting team. I thought, or 3-point shooting league. Like, I thought because Golden State did it, now everyone wants to do it, but now Golden State stinks, so we don't really need to do that anymore. But if you're going to be that, you need to surround yourself with 3-point shooters. We don't have any. You know, the Sixers are 23rd in the league right now with 3-point attempts a game. So it's not like we're even up there in the top 10. But if you look at some of the good teams, playoff teams in the league, like the Lakers, the Warriors, the Clippers, or not the Warriors, the Lakers, the Nuggets, the Clippers, us, we're not even in the, like, we're in the bottom 10 of 3-point shooting league. Don't tell me we have to be a 3-point shooting team.
Yeah.
The LA Lakers are not a 3-point shooting team. They don't have to be that. Giannis Antetokounmpo doesn't shoot three-pointers. He doesn't have to be that. Zion Williamson scored 17 points in the fourth quarter in his debut last night. Why can't Ben Simmons give me that every night?
I don't know.
And Brett Brown's going to get fired. See you guys next Friday.
See you Friday, my friend. Yeah, we were talking about that at the break. I don't think anybody here thinks they're going to fire Brett Brown still within the season.
No,
but like to have that conversation right now is a little ridiculous. But as of right now, the thing that is my saving grace with Brett, like if I'm giving him any vote of confidence, it's that he's been able to figure it out in terms of getting a good seed in the playoffs, get 50 wins, and I think he's got the most talent he's ever had on his roster. And with Joel Embiid back, maybe another acquisition, they should be able to make a very strong push to the playoff. If you don't see him exceed the second round, though, that's where you got to start looking elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I know the optics are going to be a thing, but I think it's pretty safe to say that if they don't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, this season is a huge disappointment.
Absolutely.
If they don't make it to the finals, it's a disappointment. So that's where you will start to seriously look elsewhere for a new head coach. Now, before we get into this T.O. versus Donovan conversation, our good friends here, Matt and Dan, Joe.
That's my bad. I always got Dan and Joe mixed up. Because I knew it was a three-letter, you know, name.
All right, Joe, go ahead and get on that mic. Go ahead and pull that mic, too.
So I was in the ballpark.
Yeah.
You were close. Yeah.
Is your name Trey? No? Okay. So Matt and Joe are with us here. And you guys, what construction company you guys work with here?
For KCCI.
Big fan. You guys are doing a great job here, obviously. Can you hear what's going on here? You guys are doing... can you hear this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the loudest it's ever been.
Nice background.
But it shows that you... Exactly. You know, nice ambiance, if you will. So it shows that you guys are just trucking right along here in the renovations they're doing. Nothing's being done to our studio. This is all staying the same. Right?
This is existing, yep.
But everything else for the offices, for our salespeople, for marketing, for promotions, all that digital, all that's changing, and you guys are doing a phenomenal job. Now, we had a suggestion from one of our tweeters, a guy named Joey Glenn, that we do a segment with You Fine Construction Workers entitled Hot Takes, Hard Hats. All right? So you guys always talk sports with us. The Sixers lost last night. What was your take on that one there, Joe?
I didn't watch the game.
Good man. Matt, what was your take on the game?
I still think it's regular season. It's not going to determine their fate in the playoffs, you know. They're still playing without Embiid. So I think once he gets back, the team will be better.
All right.
You know?
I agree. Now, the other part of this is Donovan McNabb and T.O. are back in the news. McNabb is on Bleacher Report. Trey, we're going to get in this in a second. You guys have been lifelong Eagle fans, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Who do you side with, T.O. or Donovan?
I want to say McNabb.
Matt, you signed with McNabb.
Yeah.
In the T.O. debate. Why?
I just think I've always been more of a McNabb fan, not a hater, you know, and I just think he's done a lot more for the team. I'm sure McNabb could have, you know, handled the situation differently and try to, like, you know, let bygones be bygones and not fight with Mitt, with T.O., but I don't know.
He was the leader. He was a veteran guy on the roster, and all you wanted to patch that up.
He was here for 1 year. You know what I mean? McNabb was here, 10-year vet here. You know what I mean? So
good enough. Joe, who do you side with?
I love T.O. But I don't really know what the debate's all about.
So. They don't like each other, and they're arguing again. They're fighting again. Yeah.
I mean, someone Donovan's stole somebody's recipe.
You know?
Okay, I got you. Wait, what was that, Trey?
Somebody stole somebody's recipe.
So that's another thing that came up, because Donovan did an interview with Bleacher Report where he was asked. Now, here's the thing. And we know this because we talked to Donovan throughout the entire season. We talked to Donovan throughout the whole year, and we know that when something gets said, very rarely does it ever get brought up, the idea that he was asked the question. It's always like he just volunteers this information. But no, Donovan was asked about what happened with him and T.O. back in 2005. This is the year after they lost the Super Bowl. The season following the Super Bowl year, obviously. Trey, once again, you were there.
I was there.
There was the sit-ups on his front lawn in his driveway. I was there for the second part of day one and all of day two and some of day three. Day three, T.O. just flat out told me to get off his lawn. And then
he became that guy.
He became that guy.
Yeah,
and okay. I was like, but you just did. You kind of invited us. No. Here is Donovan McNabb with his answer when asked about what happened. It's almost 90 seconds here. I want you to hear it in its entirety. Here's how Donovan answered the question about what happened in 2005 following the Super Bowl season.
The lead into the following year, I'm thinking he'll be back healthy. You know, we had Freak. We had guys that were just elevating their game, gaining experience. We're going to be back. And so the offseason goes through, and then all of a sudden there's turmoil here and there, conversation going back and forth. And we had to answer those questions instead of focusing on what we need to do in order to get back to where we were. And I thought that was the major distraction for us. You know, he doing sit-ups, you know, he doing push-ups, he playing basketball, he ordering pizza for the people out there. And we sitting there at training camp just like, you got to be kidding me.
Because it's probably on what you get in the cafeteria eating.
Well, we're in our dorm rooms, and, you know, I'm just sitting there, and I'm watching on TV, and Brian Dawkins and Trotter were my roommate. And Dawkins come in, he's like, man, what do you do now? I'm like, take a look. Like, this is like days of our lives. Like, it's unbelievable. But, you know, that was something that kind of broke us up. That was the most frustrating for me, because I knew what we could do. And if we decided to just come together, what would we be able to accomplish?
Are you and T on talking terms? Or what's the relationship like now?
Hey, I give a nice peace sign and keep it moving. You know, I respect his time. You know, I love my time. You know, and there's no need for me to try to dust off anything that happened in the past, because what was in the past is in the past.
So that's T.O. and Donovan there. That spat with T.O. Excuse me, with Donovan being on the Bleacher Report program there with you know, all the fine questions that we've been batting around really ever since that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
From the outside looking in, I remember this as something that made me fall out of favor with Donovan as an Eagles fan. Because I always felt, first off, the person I blame first and foremost is Joe Banner. You mean to tell me a guy fights back the way he fought back? And this is where Joe was cold to a point, right? That was just, it was more than what was needed. Even with Brian Dawkins, you weren't going to match the money for Brian Dawkins that the Denver Broncos were going to give him. It's unfortunate, but that's business. T.O. just fought back from a broken leg, played in the Super Bowl, was your best player on the field next to the left tackle, Trey Thomas. And then he came out there and just balled, man. And then after that game, wanted to rework his deal. Joe said basically, forget about it, not happening. And instead of Donovan having the back of his best target ever, he backed out and could have stepped up and could have championed the cause for T.O. to rework his deal. It wouldn't be nearly as bad if Donovan had not stepped up for Brian Westbrook and said, hey, pay that man. He's very, very valuable to this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't do it for one and not the other. And if he is the guy that is the franchise leader here, why couldn't you take care of one of your most valuable assets mm-hmm. and patch that up? Now, the only reason that you think, oh, well, no, it wasn't going to work anyway was because T.O. ended up going to, what, three or four other teams? No. That was a malcontent. He went to the Cowboys, but he also went to the Bills. He also went to the Bengals, and he was a malcontent pretty much everywhere he went.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing that makes you go, well, there was no cure-all for the T.O. problem. But I more so remember it the way T.O. remembers it, because T.O. even quoted the tweet that Donovan McNabb said when Bleacher Report, saying it was a nice run that they had, but T.O. more or less broke up the Eagles. So then T.O. quotes that tweet and says, oh, bleep, begins with S-H, can't wait to tell my side of the story. I'm bringing the popcorn, doing sit-ups, going to eat a couple of cans of chunky soup. This guy is a joke, meaning Donovan, talking about how I broke up the Eagles. Did you tell him that you vouched for the Eagles to pay Westbrook, but not me? It's on, says T.O. So, Trey, that's how I remember it as a fan. That's how I remember it as a newly christened member of the media when all that was happening.
Uh-huh.
How do you remember it as a former player and teammate?
I remember it during training camp. You know, you had the different segments, like I was saying earlier, where, you know, okay, the offensive line needs to sign, or the quarterbacks need to sign. Well, it was the receiver's turn to sign. And T.O. just, see, for whatever reason, didn't want to go out there and do the autograph signing. So he walked in, and he walked into the training room, and I was in there getting iced up or whatever. I don't know. It was Lehigh, so just trying to get it together. Right. So, you know, and he and Big Red got into an argument, and they had a couple words or whatever. And, you know, and T.O. going back and forth with Big Red, and next thing you know, he told him to get out of there. And next thing you know, we go on the TV, we turn on the TV, and we see T.O. is in his front yard doing sit-ups and all the news and everything around it. And it kind of just got to the point where, for us, it was just, all right, here we go. Let's go out, get out of practice. Let's go see what T.O. said on the news. It was kind of going to be funny.
So you're finding this almost entertaining.
It was like, because, I mean, it was so off the wall. We
ridiculous.
Had never dealt with anything like that before. This was, anybody, we never had anybody on our team just kind of had this type of thing happen. So when it happened, you know, and T.O.'s doing the sit-ups and you're seeing what's going on. But after a while, I just kind of, you know, let it go. I'm like, all right, I'm moving on to the next thing, because then we ended up bringing him back because I can't even remember what the situation was, and then he had left again, and then he came back. I don't know. It was just a bunch of...
Well,
just,
he played, I think, 7 games, and then he got the indefinite suspension from Andy.
Right.
And then I remember they had to bring in an arbiter at one point to negotiate how much of his money he was going to get after he was released. But the funny thing is, I think he only played in 7 or 8 games in the following season, 2005. I think he played in 7 or 8 games. He led the Eagles in receiving both years. One, I believe he missed the final 3 games of the season because of the Roy Williams tackle,
right,
the horse collar.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other, because he got cut, and he still led the team in receiving that year.
Yeah, man, I mean, T.O. was an animal. I really wish they could have worked this thing out. I think that, you know, of course, you know, T.O. is saying, like, look, man, he wanted McNabb to step up to the plate for him, just like you saw how Peyton Manning would do for what's my man name? The receiver.
Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison. You've seen quarterbacks kind of like, hey, I need my receiver. I need you to do whatever you got to do to get him signed. And T.O. wanted that. And I thought that T.O. did outperform his contract. I mean, the man went out there and played on a broken ankle. You know, today, how we would, without a doubt, that would have been, hey, man, what kind of contract you want? You need more money? All
right,
cool.
Right.
You know, I mean, look at how they were rewarding guys this year. You know, so that would have been no issue. But Joe Banner, man, he was a tough negotiator when it came to those contracts, man. And, you know, you weren't going to go in there and try to bully Joe. And that wasn't going to happen. Now, you know, if you can kind of take a stance of, hey, man, I would like to get a new contract. You get somebody to come in there and you work it out. But if you're going to sit up there and you try to work it through the media and try to force the hand, oh, that ain't happening. Not with Joe.
Yeah, I think that's an odd thing, but it felt like it didn't start with the media circus. It started with something in-house. And I don't even mean the autograph signing. I mean, I don't think T.O. brought it up to the media first. I think it was known that he wanted to rework his deal. Like, people forget, you know how we got T.O.? We got him because we traded Brandon Whiting and, what, a 5th-round pick?
Mm.
Because he was supposed to go to the Ravens. And then he screwed over Ray Lewis, basically. And then he wanted to come to Philadelphia. And then another arbiter had to get involved. And that's how you got Javon Kersen. That's how you got later T.O. that offseason. Hmm. So let me ask you guys this. With our fine gentlemen here, Matt and Joe, from our construction team here at One Ballot Plaza, putting everything together, knocking things down, putting it back up, all that fun stuff. All right, Matt and Joe, let me ask this. Maybe we'll make this our poll question here. If you could have one player here for at least a 10-year career, would it be Donovan McNabb or would it be Terrell Owens?
I think we got to go T.O.
I think I got T.O. Joe, yeah. Matt, yeah. Brilliant. Both of you.
If he's not a locker room problem, T.O.
I mean, T.O. is what, 1 for 2 for Super Bowl?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He's 1 for 2. How much is Donovan? Is he 1 for 15? As far as getting us to the Super Bowl?
Possibly. Possibly.
I'll take the odds on T.O.
Oh, you mean in the years that he's here? Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good percentage. That's 50%.
I asked Trey earlier today, if you lock the two of them in a room and say, fight it out, who's walking out?
Yeah. I think the guy with the popcorn over his head.
Well, I mean, Donovan's a big dude.
Mm.
Yeah. But Trey had a pretty interesting answer.
Are we assuming Carson's playing quarterback if T.O.'s here?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Not Kevin Cobb.
No, they would have signed Rodney Peet to a 10-year contract extension.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think most people would go T.O. over Donovan.
Huh.
If you could have one here for 10 years, would it have been Donovan? Would people want Donovan or would people want T.O.?
Yeah.
Well, here's why my answer would sway towards T.O. I think T.O. makes a quarterback a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Donovan makes receivers a lot better.
How many Pro Bowls did Jeff Garcia make without throwing to Terrell Owens?
There you go.
So let's just go back to that one for a second. 610-632-0975. We got Philly J. We got Dante. We got Graf. We're going to swing it back to the Sixers in just a second. Also, a little bit later, we'll get into this gritty fiasco. Because I don't know who to believe here. And there seems like there's ridiculous claims, bottom line, when it comes to this gritty story.
The answer is always gritty. You believe gritty.
We believe gritty. Of course. I want to thank our guys there, Matt and Joe. Hard hats, hot takes. A new segment named by our listener, Joey Glenn. Appreciate it. Matt, Joe, thanks so much.
Thanks, you guys.
What do you guys need? Like another a couple of days and we'll be done here?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Give or take.
You guys can still stop by anytime.
A hard week and we'll be out of here.
There we go.
No more hammers.
Thank you. And who's your videographer here? Got to give him a shout out.
Chris.
The man in the... Is that safety harness?
He's a Cowboys fan.
He's a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, man. I got to give me a fancy tool belt.
That'd be another segment.
We'll talk about that later.
That's a nice tool belt, too. Yeah, right. I got to order me a tool belt, man, because, you know, every now and then.
A Cowboys fit. What?
You know, when I get home, you know.
All right.
Tool time.
We'll take care of you, Trey.
You don't need a belt for that, Trey.
We'll do another segment with the Cowboys fan who handles tools. A tool handling tools. Go figure. Thanks for coming in, brother. Is he the foreman? Is he the foreman?
No.
I'm
the foreman.
I was wondering how you got in here and it was totally approved. It's because you're in charge.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks for coming in, guys. Time at the Fanatic is 7:41.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Sam, let's step in a big old pile of sassy.
Yeah, it's a spicy meatball today.
It's a spicy meatball. What do we got for our Twitter poll?
Today we asked, who would you rather have for a 10-year career, Donovan McNabb or T.O.? We just put it out. 69% say T.O.
Oh, my goodness. Not surprised. I think it's going to be 75% by the time we're done that people rather want T.O. Now, here's the thing. You might say, oh, well, T.O. is already a Hall of Famer. And, you know, it's an easy question. Of course, T.O. But you also have to take into account that for 10 years, you're probably not going to have a Boy Scout. No matter who the quarterback is.
Oh, no.
I'm taking into consideration a suspension, probably a fine, probably a guy that maybe gets cut.
T.O.'s a whole bag of drama that comes with him.
Yeah.
The constant with him is drama.
Yeah. And it's also a pretty damn good wide receiver.
I would
Hall
say
of Fame wide
top
receiver.
Three ever.
Third all-time in touchdown receptions.
The and debate becomes for three, you know, is it Moss or is it...
Moss, and then T.O.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, I think he's probably the third best ever at a position. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go figure. And I the way he broke it down in the response to the Bleacher Report tweet that had the video of McNabb saying that he broke it up, that T.O. broke up the fun. How T.O. described it is how I remember it. It's like, wait a minute. So this whole time, Donovan's not going to go to bat for T.O., but he jumps in for Brian Westbrook. And I get that they were longer-time teammates than the 1 year they had been together at that point with T.O. and Donovan. But I look at it like this. I go, wait a minute. All that was out there, and you say you're not gonna go down that path to talk about somebody else's money, you're not gonna count somebody else's money, and then you jump in to help B West. Like I thought T.O. was pretty important too.
Yeah, I mean, at the time and still today, I never put that on McNabb's plate that it was his job to go to bat for T.O. Like, we were outsiders looking in, unlike Trey. Didn't we see that the team kind of played a lot better with Terrell Owens? Mm. Why does someone have to go to bat to the GM and say, like, oh, yeah, let's keep him? I think the GM should have saw it on his own. I didn't think it was. I just didn't think a quarterback, not whether it was McNabb, anybody else. I don't think that's in their job description that they have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like Trey, if you were the highest paid player on the team, do you feel like it's your obligation to go and say, "Hey, let's pay this guy also. He makes us better."
You know, it doesn't hurt. I think that okay. It would be okay. I mean, you know, if you know that this is what kind of got you over the hump. I would go and have his back and like, hey, yeah, man, he does deserve a new contract. Can y'all look out for him? Yeah.
If you're going to talk about one guy, you have to talk about the other.
Exactly.
And you can't say that you're not going to get into anybody else's money and then get into somebody else's money.
Mm. That's a good point. I just don't think, even though he did it for Westbrook, I don't think it's incumbent upon McNabb or any quarterback to have to do that.
I thought
the way Owens kind of portrayed it over the years, like, well, why didn't he stick up for me? Well, you know, I don't think he should have to.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the GM should have seen it.
See, I
paid him.
Yeah, and I think that the name that always gets lost here is Joe Banner.
Yeah.
Because the sexy names are McNabb and Owens and those two against each other yet again. But I get that Joe is a shrewd businessman, but you have a gift right now in what you got T.O. for, next to nothing. You go to a Super Bowl immediately. I will say the greatest Eagles wide receiver, the best Eagles wide receiver I've ever seen in my lifetime, that I've experienced, is T.O.
Yeah.
Granted, it was a year and a half. The best player I've ever seen as a wide receiver put on an Eagles jersey, that guy's name was Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
Regardless of time spent here, it was just biggest impact, boom. He was the best.
And your franchise quarterback put up his best numbers of his career.
Absolutely.
You're right. The fault doesn't go really to those two. It should go over to Joe Banner.
So you of all the times that Joe Banner should have said, all right, you know what? This is for the best for the team. It's the best for everybody involved. Let's make a deal. But he didn't have to, so he didn't. That is shrewd business,
mm-hmm.
but it's shrewd to a fault. I actually blame Joe Banner more for the T.O. fiasco than I do for Brian Dawkins leaving. And I know that's the least popular opinion you could have about one of the most beloved, if not the most beloved athlete ever in Philadelphia in Brian Dawkins. But he wasn't going to match that money.
Mm-hmm.
My bigger issue with Brian Dawkins with that was Andy Reid, the GM at the time, the guy that was making all the personnel decisions, that had nobody as a backup plan for basically knowing you weren't going to have Brian Dawkins back the following season anyway. That's more my issue. It's not Joe Banner. It's more Andy Reid. I look at Joe more so for the fallout of McNabb and T.O. more than anything. If he says, you know what, after the Super Bowl, we're going to have a conversation. You fought back this way. We played our best football ever. I'm going to solve this problem. Instead, T.O. ran amok. Donovan didn't like the way he went about it, didn't have his back. Like, I don't mind you guys like sitting in a locker room or sitting in a dorm laughing at it and finding entertainment in it. But the second you got to a suspension, the second you got to a releasing of T.O., that's where I'm like, all right, can somebody get involved here and just put a stop to this nonsense?
Mm-hmm.
That's where Joe just should have said, instead of worrying about ego and business, should have thought about the business of football itself and the game on the field, as opposed to, well, no one's going to outdo me. I'm a great businessman. It's Joe Banner.
Yeah, because this could have been nipped in the bud as soon as that Super Bowl was over. Because I remember talking to T.O. At the Pro Bowl and just talking about how, you know, he fought back and he went out there and balled. You know, he was like, hey, man, I gave it everything I had. And you know, and there you go. So you're expecting, like, all right, he should be rewarded for that. And
yep.
It just didn't happen.
All right. I want to transition real quick to something I teased before the break. Apparently, Gritty punched a 13-year-old boy in the back.
A running start.
So here's how the story goes. Back in November, if you haven't seen any of this yet, back in November, the Flyers hold a little party for season tickets, season ticket holders, and they get a picture with Gritty. It was like a meet Gritty thing for season ticket holders. This guy and his 13-year-old son sit down with Gritty. The kid, the 13-year-old, apparently is patting Gritty on the head a couple of times. Gritty maybe took exception to it, maybe thought there was an opportunity to be funny. And as the kid stopped patting him on the head and took the picture and walked away, Gritty allegedly got up and punched the kid in the back.
Sounds like he deserved it. And,
okay, I'm not making jokes here.
Who said I'm joking?
A 13-year-old. 13-year-old ends up going to the doctor. Right, the most stories say that he went to the hospital. There was a $300 bill. He went to a chiropractor. Basically, they said that the kid had a bruised back, a bruised lower left back.
And he's a backyotomy.
It's back.
Sell out of court right now for $20.
And some autograph jerseys.
And now here's the
Mark.
Thing.
This is a serious matter. Continue.
If Gritty takes the stand,
yes,
he can't. He doesn't talk. Like, how's he going to defend himself?
How's this going to happen?
He's going to just go squeeze that thing, and he does, wee!
Now, well, here's one thing I will say lightheartedly. If I'm the Flyers, there's no way I'm not taking Gritty to the precinct and just getting that photo up. You know what I'm saying? But anyway.
The back, door's shutting.
Like, Gritty as Gritty with his Secret Service, go in. Right. Hey, I just want to, I'm complying. I'm making sure that I go along with that. I'm absolutely helping everybody here. All right? There's no way you pass up on that photo opportunity. But here's the thing. So this guy calls the Flyers and says, Gritty punched my kid. But he wrote them a letter, I think, first, was the first step, writing them a letter saying, Gritty took a terrible picture. He wasn't even looking at the camera, and he punched my kid. If he punched your kid, isn't that the lead story?
Yeah, that would be kind of what you...
Like, if somebody punched my kid, I'm not going, you know, there's a really bad photo taken, and by the way, he punched my kid. No, yeah. The lead is... Yo, you assaulted my kid. Now, the gentleman, the father, claims that the Flyers tried to make it right by saying, we'll give you all you could drink passes.
Yeah. Yeah, all the 7-Up and Sprite you want.
No. Apparently, it was like to one of the bars.
Oh,
like,
get drunk, like you'll forget about it all.
Get the kid drunk, yeah.
Yeah, which if that's true, is a bad move by the Flyers. The Flyers said that they did an investigation. They didn't come up with anything to claim, to justify the person's claim. So in this day and age, you mean to tell me that there's nobody around videoing Gritty at the time this happened? Like, I don't know if this happened in a separate room or if this happened in front of a line of people, but the Flyers say they looked into it. They have nothing.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.